Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Mario Ritter Jr. and Brian Lynn. Later, Steve Ember will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, here is Mario Ritter Jr.
France has suspended planned increases in fuel taxes for 6 months after violent protests in the streets of Paris and other cities. Prime Minister Edouard Philippe announced the delay of the tax increases in a speech on national television. "No tax is worth putting the nation's unity in danger," he said. The Prime Minister also spoke of the protesters. He said that the French, who have worn yellow vests, want taxes to drop and work to pay. Fuel taxes had been set to rise on January 1st. Philippe said the increase would go into effect 6 months later. He also announced that electricity and natural gas prices will not increase before May 2019. President Emmanuel Macron announced the tax increases last month. French officials said they are designed to move the country away from fossil fuels and part of an effort to fight climate change. The demonstrations started on November 17th in Paris. Protesters wore yellow traffic vests that French drivers are required to carry in their vehicles. Since then, the yellow vest protests have developed into a movement against Macron. Protests last Saturday caused heavy property damage in Paris and other French cities. Police used tear gas to control crowds. In the capital, more than 100 people were injured and more than 400 arrested. Macron is a 40-year-old former investment banker and economy minister. He has promised to reform France's economy and increase economic growth. However, his policies have angered many French citizens, who say he does not care about most of the people. The yellow vest protesters have called him President of the Rich. The most violent protests took place last weekend while Macron attended the G20 meetings in Buenos Aires, Argentina. The demonstrations took place as France joins other countries at the United Nations Climate Change Conference in Katowice, Poland. Macron has been a supporter of the 2015 Paris Agreement on Climate Change. The tax increase has been described as an effort to move France further to renewable energy sources. It is unclear whether the government's latest moves will put an end to the protests. Macron has said he will never accept violence. However, reports say he has urged Philippe to ease tensions and meet with protest groups. The movement does not seem to be led by a known labor leader or opposition politician. That, observers say, makes it more difficult for government officials to answer. Some officials, however, hope that the lack of clear leadership will lead the movement to break apart. I'm Mario Ritter, Jr.
The body of America's 41st president, George H.W. Bush, has been placed inside the U.S. Capitol building. People began lining up in the early morning hours Tuesday for the chance to honor Bush, who died Friday at the age of 94. All day, thousands of people walked by his flag-covered casket. Alongside them was someone that came into Bush's life only recently, his service dog, Sully. Bush received Sully in June from America's Vet Dogs, an organization that trains dogs to help war veterans and active military members. Bush was a pilot for the U.S. Navy during World War II. His plane was shot down during a bombing mission over the Pacific Ocean. Later in his life, he developed a form of Parkinson's disease. He used a wheelchair in his final years. Sully, a 2-year-old yellow Labrador retriever, helped the former president do things such as open and close doors, pick up objects, and seek help if needed. But above all, the dog was a wonderful companion, said Bush aide Evan Sisley. Bush got Sully just 2 months after the death of his wife of 73 years. Barbara Bush died in April at the age of 92. Sully has remained by Bush's side since his death Friday. On Sunday night, Bush spokesman Jim McGrath shared an emotional photo of the loyal dog lying on the ground in front of Bush's casket. "Mission completed," McGrath wrote, along with the hashtag Remembering41. The image has been shared more than 65,000 times. When Bush first got Sully, he wrote about the dog on Twitter. He said, "A great joy to welcome home the newest member of our family, Sully, a beautiful and beautifully trained lab from America's Vet Dogs. Could not be more grateful." America's Vet Dogs says Sully will soon begin working at Walter Reed National Military Medical Center's Facility Dog Program. The medical center is just outside of Washington, D.C. There, Sully will help wounded soldiers as they go through physical therapy and other treatments.
Moana was a hit movie released in 2016. It was produced in over 40 languages and shown in theaters around the world. Moana is unusual because it was the first Walt Disney Studios film ever to be re-recorded in the native language of Hawaii. Now, the Hawaiian version is being provided to schools across the state in an effort to get students interested in the language. English and Hawaiian are the two official languages of Hawaii. But for many years, Hawaiian has been in danger of disappearing. The Hawaiian Islands were made by volcanoes. They lie in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, about 4,000 kilometers from the United States mainland. Hawaii's native population came from Polynesia, a collection of hundreds of islands in the North and South Pacific. In 1778, the British explorer James Cook and his men landed in what is now Hawaii. At the time, the local population spoke only the Hawaiian language. Later, Christian missionaries wrote the language down and produced books for the natives. The area became a protectorate of Britain and was later ruled by a king. Over time, a large foreign influence over Hawaii's politics and economics led to English being declared the official language. In 1896, schools banned use of the Hawaiian language. The United States annexed the territory in 1898, and Hawaii became a U.S. colony 2 years later. In 1959, Hawaii was admitted as the 50th state. During the 1970s, a movement began to seek wider use of the Hawaiian language. Education officials again permitted the use of Hawaiian in schools. But today, the language is still not widely spoken on the islands. The Cultural Agency of the United Nations, UNESCO, lists the Hawaiian language as critically endangered. Hawaiian state officials estimated in 2016 that only about 5.7% of people living in the state speak Hawaiian at home. For this reason, officials in Hawaii decided to try a fun new way to increase interest in the language among the younger generation. The University of Hawaii launched the project to re-record Moana in Hawaiian. Officials said the production was a major effort involving the translation of about 10,000 words and new recordings of 4,000 pieces of audio. The movie tells the story of Moana, a teenage girl from ancient Polynesia who decides she must act to save her people. She uses the help of a demigod named Maui, who guides Moana through a series of exciting, often dangerous experiences. Auli'i Cravalho is a native Hawaiian actor who starred in the 2016 film's lead as Moana. Her voice was used in the English version, but she also got the chance to re-record her parts in Hawaiian. Cravalho said at the movie's Hawaiian language launch that she believes the project will go a long way to help more people hear and study Hawaiian.
It is amazing to know that I'm making a difference in my community, that this language will be able to be heard around the world, that Hawaii and Hawaiian is on the map, that it's a proud culture.
Other native Hawaiians were chosen to voice other parts. Kaipu Baker provided the voice for Maui, the movie's other main character.
Seeing us become native Hawaiian performers in our own language, that's really what this project is about for me.
Kaleiua Kawa voiced the part of Moana's grandmother.
And this is
is a nice showing, not only to our students, but to everyone, that Olelo Hawaii is here. It is an official language of Hawaii. It's out here. It's in the community.
The University of Hawaii said in a statement, the Hawaiian version of the movie is being given to all schools across the state for free. They are hoping the film can be a starting point to encourage students to learn the language. I'm Brian Lynn.
From VOA Learning English, welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in Special English. I'm Steve Ember. The Constitution became law once 9 of America's 13 original states ratified it. The Continental Congress set a date for the new plan of government to take effect, the first Wednesday in March of 1789. In 1789, the population of the United States was about 4 million. The 13 states had been loosely united for a short time, only about 10 years. Before that, they were separate colonies of Britain. Because the colonies were separate, they developed different ways of life, different economies, different traditions. Americans were fiercely independent, but the crisis of the American Revolution brought them together. Together, they celebrated the 4th of July, the day in 1776 when America declared its independence from Britain. Together, they fought British troops to make that declaration a political reality. And together they joined under the Latin phrase, a pluribus unum, one out of many. Yet they did not really consider themselves a national people. When the war ended, the soldiers returned to their home states. They still thought of themselves first as New Yorkers or Virginians or Marylanders. Americans of 1789 were sharply divided on the need for a national government. Many were afraid the new government would not survive. They feared the anarchy that would result if it failed. Others hoped it would fail. They wanted strong state governments, not a strong central government. Also in 1789, the American economy was improving after the destruction caused by the Revolutionary War. Agriculture, trade, and shipbuilding were coming back to life. Roads, bridges, and canals were being built. The country's economy still had many problems, however. Two major issues had to be settled. One was the repayment of loans made to support the Revolutionary Army. The other was the creation of a national monetary system. Both issues needed quick action. And before the new government could act, the old government still had work to do on other issues, like the question of a capital. At the time the states approved the Constitution, the Continental Congress was meeting in New York City. And that was where the Congress decided to place the new government. Later, the capital would be moved to Philadelphia for a while. Finally, it would be established in Washington, D.C., the District of Columbia. Next, members of the Continental Congress had to decide when the states would choose a president. They agreed to March 4, 1789, the same day the Constitution would go into effect. The states that ratified the Constitution chose electors to vote for a president. The result was not a surprise. They chose the hero of the Revolutionary War, George Washington. No one opposed the choice, except, perhaps, for George Washington himself. Here are actors having an imaginary conversation between James Madison and George Washington. Madison is trying to persuade Washington that he should be the new nation's first president.
Oh, sir, it must be you who serves as president. It is your influence that unites the states.
I can tell you honestly, I do not want the honor. I'm very much aware of my deficient education and the 10,000 embarrassments it will cause me in office. I would hope they could find a younger man. But I want nothing more but to return to Mount Vernon and tend to my farming.
But, sir, if your country should need you...
If called, I will serve.
Washington learned of his election while at Mount Vernon, his home in Virginia. He left for New York, where he was inaugurated on April 13th. Members of the new Congress were also elected on March 4th. One of the first things the Congress did was to reopen debate on the Constitution itself. Several states had set a condition for approving the document. They said a Bill of Rights listing the rights of all citizens must be added to the Constitution. Yale Law School professor Akhil Reed Amar says one of the most important parts of the Bill of Rights is its source, the people.
In effect, it's crowdsourced, and we the people actually say, where are the rights? And we get this Bill of Rights because of that conversation.
To many Americans, the Bill of Rights represents the heart and soul of the Constitution. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas has said that when he reads the document, he gets chills.
There was always this underlying belief that we were entitled to be a full participant in we, the people.
Just what is this Bill of Rights, and what does it say? The Bill of Rights is the name for the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. The First Amendment deals with freedom of expression, including, as Justice Clarence Thomas points out, freedom of religion.
The First Amendment is what? Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or the free exercise thereof. In other words, stay out of it and leave people alone when it comes to their religion.
The First Amendment guarantees that religion and government will be separate. Congress cannot establish an official religion or interfere in the people's right to worship as they choose. The First Amendment also protects other rights. Here is the full text. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. In other words, people have a right to gather peacefully and to make demands of the government. Constitutional law expert Akhil Reed Amar says the idea of free expression can be found throughout the Bill of Rights.
And even before there's the text of freedom of speech, there's the practice of freedom of speech. Five times the Bill of Rights uses the same phrase, the people, in the first, and the second, and the fourth, and the ninth, and the tenth amendments.
Mr. Amar says he believes the Bill of Rights says the people so often because the document comes from the people.
Mm-hmm.
The Second Amendment deals with guns. Here is what it says. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The Third Amendment says people may not be forced to let soldiers stay in their homes during peacetime. The next five amendments protect people's rights in the justice system. The Fourth Amendment protects people from unreasonable searches and seizures. It bars courts from approving warrants unless there is probable cause. And it says warrants should describe the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. The Fifth Amendment says people should not be tried for the most serious crimes unless a grand jury has first examined the evidence. It also bars people from being tried twice for the same offense. And it says the government cannot take people's property for public use without paying them a fair price. The Sixth Amendment says people accused of crimes have the right to a fair and speedy public trial by a jury. The aim is to guarantee that people are not kept in prison for a long time unless a jury has found them guilty of a crime. The Sixth Amendment also guarantees the right of the accused to be defended by a lawyer. It says they must be informed of the nature and cause of the charges against them. And it says they have the right to face and question their accusers. The Seventh Amendment guarantees the right to a jury trial in civil cases. The Eighth Amendment bars cruel and unusual punishments. The Ninth Amendment provides protection for other rights not stated directly in the Constitution. And the Tenth Amendment says any powers not delegated to the national government belong to the states or to the people. The exceptions are any powers that the Constitution prohibits states from having. So these first 10 amendments make up the Bill of Rights. Later, says law professor Akhil Reed Amar, more amendments were added to the Constitution.
As good as the founding was, the system kept getting better and better. We made amends for some of the flaws of the founders through a series of amendments, and that process continues today.
The Bill of Rights and the other changes that came later helped decrease the power of the federal government. Because these amendments limited the power of the federal government, many anti-federalists ended their opposition to the new government. Many agreed to help with the job of building the new nation. In all, 11 of the 13 states approved the Constitution before Washington was inaugurated as president. The last two states, North Carolina and Rhode Island, ratified it afterward. President Washington wanted the best men, Federalist or anti-Federalist, to be in his administration. The new nation needed strong leadership, and George Washington provided it.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.